Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan's!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You are listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. Broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios on Madison's Near West Side from Mad Radio 92.7 FM, WMDX 1580 AM, and around the state of Wisconsin on a local Civic Media radio station near you. And it's Wednesday afternoon, which can mean only one thing, folks. I am joined by William Walter on a Wednesday. Will, how are we doing, my friends?
What up, party people? How are you doing?
Oh, we're doing great. It is a wonderful May day. We are cruising through the month of May, already on to the 10th of May. It's pretty wild here.
I can't take credit for the weather either. My contract expires once we hit the pseudo-summer, which is like early-ish May, and then sometimes we get like that cold week again, and then we'll get back to warm. And
we hit that pseudo-summer 2 months ago. It was like 2 months ago that pseudo-summer came through. We had like a 70-degree day. There was like a 50- or 60-degree day in February this year. It's a wild, wild time.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I was here for that, because I definitely took credit for that day.
Oh, yeah. And so we're joined by Will. You can join us on the phone lines, 844-967-2789. Will, one of the subjects I was talking about yesterday, what do Republican lawmakers here in Wisconsin stand for? Talked about some freedoms, local control, things like that. They also, they claim to be for election integrity, right? That's all we've heard since 2020, Will, right? That there was widespread fraud.
Yeah,
people are saying, no proof, but a lot of people saying other people are saying, essentially, when it comes to elections here in Wisconsin and around the nation. And so Republicans claim to be for election integrity. But unfortunately, here in Wisconsin, the elected Republican lawmakers stripped out a lot of election integrity aspects from the budget proposal provided by Governor Tony Evers.
Tap the sign, Luke. Tap the sign.
Yeah, but this one missed it yesterday. But a piece written up by Haram Venhuizen, over at AP, Associated Press. Headline, Wisconsin elections officials want to revive critical plan. They have to revive it, Will, because this plan was stripped out of the budget proposal last week, along with 544 other provisions, because this budget plan, you know, it was provided by Governor Evers. There's no good ideas in a democratically proposed budget, Will. No, we gotta strip it down to bare bones. But election officials here in Wisconsin asking for it to be revived. This from the piece written up by Haram. Election officials in battleground Wisconsin hope to revive a bipartisan plan they say is critical to rebuilding confidence in elections, but that was killed last week by Republicans without debate. The state's chief election official said a new division designed to handle voters' concerns and deal with the onslaught of records requests and complaints was, quote, exactly what Wisconsin needs and of critical importance. The legislature's Republican-controlled Budget Writing Committee rejected the commission's request along with more than 500 other proposals from Democratic Governor Tony Evers in a single vote last Tuesday. So are Republican lawmakers for election security? Or is that just a bunch of hearsay, a bunch of hot air?
I like how the article notes that Republicans killed it without debate, despite the fact that it was a bipartisan plan.
Yeah. But it came in the Evers budget proposal. It had to get killed. They had to remove it from the chopping block. It was going to be gone.
It reminds me of that. I forgot what bill it was for, but in a few years ago, Mitch McConnell proposed something. And then when the Democrats decided to go along with it, he vetoed it himself.
Like he voted against it? Yeah.
He voted against it, yeah.
I can't remember the specifics, but yes.
So it was like all of a sudden, oh, wait, now Democrats actually do want this? No. I was just kidding. Then I didn't want that. I didn't mean that. Like, it's their entirety is making the libs cry. Right?
It's the politics of being a contrarian. If you're always just against what somebody else is for, you're going to find yourself in this position a lot that the elected Republican lawmakers are in here in Wisconsin. They claim to want to bolster elections, but then they will not fund the initiatives put forth by Governor Tony Evers. They claim to be for renewing faith in our electoral process, Will. But then you got individuals like Congressman Brian Stile. We haven't talked about him in a little while. It's been a minute. There's been some crazier headlines around Wisconsin. And apparently, Brian Stile, I don't know if this is the motivation behind the move, Will, but he's hiring somebody that worked a part of the fraudulent electors. Oh, wait, not hiring. He's already hired. This person is already on his hired. Team. Mm-hmm. Already has got a pretty cushiony salary to go with this position as well. But a member of the campaign staff for former President Donald Trump in Arizona and New Mexico for 2020 and 2021 was now hired by the committee that Brian Stile chairs. And so somebody that was working, being paid to overthrow and part of that fraudulent elector scheme, which again is back in the headlines, a Wisconsin judge here in Dane County voted to renew the complaints against the fraudulent electors in Wisconsin because one of those fraudulent electors happens to serve on the Wisconsin Elections Commission and got to vote in that vote overseeing whether or not the commission would sanction those 10 fraudulent electors here in Wisconsin. But this staffer...
Boy, that's a predicament, huh?
Yeah. This staffer is still... He was working on that scheme in 2020 and 2021 for the same end goal, the same plot that was hatched in 2020 to try to overturn the electoral votes in several different swing states, including Wisconsin, including Arizona, and including Georgia and others. And so this staffer worked to overturn the election results in one of the states and is now being employed by the committee in the House of Representatives that is looking to oversee the restoring of faith in our elections, Will. Mm-hmm. It is so wild that you would think that this was a plot written up in a writer's room somewhere, but it is literally... You couldn't write this. It is happening in front of our eyes that these people that attempted to overthrow democracy in 2020 and 2021 are now overseeing the process to restore faith in our elections, Will.
Truth is stranger than fiction, Luke. I can't help but laugh as well that Stile...
I know what labeled, you're about to go to. Yeah.
Yeah. So he labeled the staffer, quote, a junior staffer. Those are his words, not mine, in an effort, I think, to kind of distance the impact that this individual is going to have. You know, oh, they're just helping out with something. Almost like when a company says, like, oh, well, they're just an intern. Don't worry about what they're doing. It's not, you know, anything that they do or say that's bad.
It was George Papadopoulos. His last name escapes me right now. But the guy that was just chalked up as a coffee boy.
He's just a coffee boy. Yeah, right, yeah, exactly.
For the Trump campaign. Yes. Same defense.
You're distancing the questionable behavior that you were participating in from, you know, you as an individual by saying it was some rogue low-level staffer or whatever, but they're paying this individual $155,000 salary. So again, if anybody's listening and they have a very junior coffee boy role and they're willing to pay me $150,000 a year, please hit me up, because that would be great.
You do it at a discount, Will. You do it for like $120,000.
Dude, I'll do it for $100,000. Yeah, sign me up. Especially if we're on the Wisconsin Republican legislative schedule. Like, that's 2 months of work for $100,000, please. But he went on to add, the election integrity efforts that we're working on is making it easy to vote and hard to cheat. What he did for a previous employer, I don't think is terribly relevant when he was in his young 20s. Excuse me, this was 2020.
This was two years ago.
2 and 3 years ago, dude. Like, you can't use the excuse, oh, he was a young man, he didn't know what he was doing, when this was literally a couple of years ago. This is still a young man, still in his young 20s.
Yes, you're reading from a piece written up by Lawrence Andrea over the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Headline, yes. Wisconsin U.S. Representative Brian Stiles' committee tasked with election oversight hires an ex-Trump campaign aide tied to the fake elector scheme. And yeah, it's a pretty damning excuse that you're like, oh, well, there's just a mistake he made. And this is like public now, like, the scheme to overthrow the election unfolded right before all of our eyes. We witnessed it happen. We saw them attempt to deliver fake electors on January 6th. We saw the insurrection that then took place because the fraudulent elector scheme did not work, and Donald Trump sicked his mob of supporters onto Congress on January 6th, 2021. We watched it happen. And the whitewashing, the cleansing away of that scheme, that plot, and the individuals that participated and looked to advance it is just terrible. And it is an indictment on the current judicial system that these individuals have not been held accountable. Now, we've seen 8 fraudulent electors taking plea deals down in Georgia, where the Fulton County District Attorney is working through the process of a grand jury on possible criminal indictments. Those 8 fraudulent electors, I'm assuming they got immunity deals if there were bigger fish to fry. And there is hopes that there is movement on this, but the fact that there has not yet been accountability, these individuals are going to be getting jobs all over the place. One of the Wisconsin fraudulent electors went and worked on U.S. Senator Ron Johnson's reelection campaign last November. All of these individuals are still involved in politics. Accountability needs to be had. And for years now...
It's the revolving door, Luke.
Yes.
We talk about it all the time in regards to lobbying, but it's the same concept.
And Republicans have decried that they want increased security and they want increased sanitation and public view of our election process. And they've claimed there's widespread fraud, and they haven't provided any widespread fraud. They didn't cry it when Ron Johnson won re-election in 2022. That was a conveniently held proper election. Nothing to look at there.
It's not like they didn't look either. Remember, they spent $2 million of taxpayer money trying to find fraud.
Yes. And then when the governor says, okay, this is how we can help improve our election officials around the state of Wisconsin, we can invest, we can make our elections more secure. Let's do this. It's got bipartisan support. It is one of more than 500 proposals stripped out of his budget. Non-starter, no debate, just one clean vote, 545 provisions gone. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. He's William Walter, joining me on a Wednesday afternoon. You can join us as well. Share your tangents with us. You can call or text 844-967-2789. Dueling Tangents is going to be right back. Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You are listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. If you want to follow the show after this little 2 o'clock hour we've got, you can do so online at Dueling Tangents. If you miss any portion of any previous shows, you can go check out the podcast of each and every edition of Dueling Tangents. Head over to the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. You can go to the show page, click on Dueling Tangents. You can see all past editions. You can also find us on wherever you get your podcasts, either Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, so many different platforms to get podcasts. Just search Dueling Tangents and we'll pop up. But I'm joined on a Wednesday afternoon by William Walter. And Will, we're discussing the for lack of better terms, hypocrisy, really, of elected Republican officials here in Wisconsin. Because they claim to be for election integrity. But we've got members of Congress that are hiring former campaign staff that worked to overturn the 2020 election results in Arizona. working for the committee now to restore election integrity. We've got state lawmakers.
Conflict of interest, question mark?
Yeah, right? You would think that would be if, hey, we are looking, this committee's goals are to restore faith in elections. Oh, you participated in attempting to overthrow an election? Oh, I'm so sorry. That is a disqualifier to work on this committee.
But it seems like that would be one of the very few disqualifiers that even Republican elected officials would.
But not the case. Not the case. There are individuals, Republican members of Congress and state legislatures around the country now that use that of where their stance is on 2020. It's still the polling on this changes all the time, but there's constantly polls of asked of Republican voters. Do you believe Donald Trump won the election in 2020? And it's still like 60% of Republican voters believe that Trump won in 2020. And so it's almost, it is disgusting, but the concept of the 2020 election as a sticking point for some of these campaign staffers moving up through their political careers is absolutely tied to who won the 2020 election. And if you answer truthfully, if you say, well, President Joe Biden won the election in 2020 to become president, that is a bad mark. That is a blemish on your resume if you're a Republican staffer. It shouldn't
it's a
be.
Scarlet letter, because it's represents essentially disloyalty, I think. Even if behind closed doors they all recognize this to be the truth, the forward-facing message that the party is trying to push out is that this is what happened, this is what we need our base to believe. And if you stand up against that and say, well, no, that's not what happened, you're failing to fall in line. And that's not very good for, just like we talked about last week, an entity that in a lot of ways operates similar to organized crime or the mafia.
Yeah, well, it's a mark against you if you're a Republican staffer. It's also something that's used against you if you are a Republican elected official that's going to attempt to win a statewide primary, because you have to go through a gauntlet of right-wing voters then to get a Republican nomination. That's the case here in Wisconsin. That's the case in, I believe, one of the still most fascinating stories of 2022 to me, Will, is that the most popular governor in the entire country going into in 2022 was the Republican governor for Massachusetts. You would think that he would have been able to go and cakewalk to a second term or third term. I forget what Baker in Massachusetts, how many terms he had served. But you would think that it would have been easy for him to get reelected as the most popular governor in the entire country. And he chose not to run for reelection. And that solely is because he would have had to go through a Republican primary. There were Republicans in Massachusetts that wanted to primary him from the right. And he did not want to go through that process. That is insane. But there are Republican lawmakers now that, if they have a position like a member of Congress or a member of the state legislature, they use things like, oh, well, saying that the 2020 election was stolen, again, without any evidence. It has been the most litigated and investigated election, I would say, in the history of the state here in Wisconsin. And there was no proof of widespread voter fraud. There was no proof of election fraud. The only election fraud was the fraudulent electors, the individuals saying that Trump won without any evidence and trying to submit those to the Library of Congress and then Vice President Mike Pence.
Well, if you're perpetuating the crime you're accusing the others of committing, I guess then technically voter fraud did exist. It's just were the ones doing it.
They would never admit to it like that. But again, that complaint before the Wisconsin Elections Commission is going to be reheard. But maybe Brian Steil, maybe he's trying to position himself for, say, a statewide primary run. Not in 2024, but just in the future, if this is a credential that's always going to be held against him. Somebody that already has out there publicly said that the 2020 election was stolen and was more than happy to try to object to Wisconsin's 10 electoral votes in the congressional proceedings that led up to on January 6th. Tom Tiffany. Sounds like he's letting congressional reporters know, Will, that he may be announcing sometime this summer a bid.
I'll take my lap now, Luke.
Yeah, his bid for potentially U.S. Senate here in Wisconsin in 2024. And when Senator Baldwin announced her decision to seek a third term. We did have a fun little conversation surrounding who we thought may be jumping in, and I think you may be the first correct one, Will, then, with picking Congressman Tom Tiffany from Northern Wisconsin.
You know, I'm a big enough person to admit this. You made a compelling argument, and you had started to sway me a little bit, but at the end, I refused to admit that just in case I ended up being right so that I could sit here now and you know,
there's still 18 months to go before this election. It is plenty of time. You know, there's other candidates that can announce as well. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. Plenty of time to give us a phone call. 844-967-2789. We're going to jump over to the phone lines coming back from this break, and then we're going to get into some headlines about voter trends in the suburbs. 844-
In my neck of the woods, baby.
Yep. Give us a call. 844-967-2789. Dueling Tangents. We'll be right back.
I'm Atomic Man.
We took a vow and so welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You are listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. You can download the Civic Media app. Take us with you wherever you go. You can jump from station to station, hear all the terrific programming across the radio network that is growing across the state of Wisconsin. Head over to the Apple App Store, the Google Play Store, type in Civic Media, and take us with you on the go. I'm joined on a Wednesday afternoon by William Walter, and you can join Will and I on the phone lines with your tangents, 844-967-2789. Up first this afternoon, we've got Mark from Prairie du Sac calling in. Mark, what's on your mind this Wednesday afternoon?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I brought this up yesterday on Matt's show, that Section 2 of the 14th Amendment, which comes before the insurrectionist part of the whole 14th Amendment, says that it's actually a constitutive violation to abridge the rights of citizens to vote for President of the United States. It was worded back when they passed that, but just for male citizens, you know, over 21. Of course, we've amended the Constitution to include people over 18, all people over 18. So that not only are these Republicans that were involved in the insurrection, which even if you're tangentially involved in that, you're given aid and comfort to that insurrection, to that violation of the Constitution, trying to prevent the peaceful transition of power, you know, for the incoming administration. You're also abridging, so many of them are abridging the rights of citizens to elect the President of the United States or elect the electors that are going to be electing the President of the United States, because it actually refers in there that we, the citizens, under the 14th Amendment, in Section 2, are the ones who are electing, as electors ourselves, we are electing the electors that are going to vote in the Electoral College. So, I mean, that these guys are all violating the Constitution of the United States. And under the further terms of the 14th Amendment, as I see it, is that they've got no business being in, you know, that they should be forever barred from being in public office unless they get like 3/4 of the legislature to, of the national legislature, say, oh, it's okay for them to, you know, hold public, any kind of public office at all, period. It's not just, you know, sitting in the Senate or sitting in the House of Representatives. It's any position in civil government at all. And I'm wrong. I guess I'm still even though I'm 65 now and just still a provincial boy from far northern Wisconsin. But my read of the Constitution, the simple English that it was put in, actually means that there's a lot of people that are getting employed by the government in positions of trust and power that really shouldn't be there, because they should be held accountable for their actions. You know, during the attempt to overthrow the election of Joe Biden to the presidency.
Yeah, and that's what it comes down to, Mark, as well, is we need the accountability. For more than 100 years since the 14th Amendment was passed, there was nobody attempting insurrections against the United States. It seems like this was not a provision that anybody, any lawyers now, I believe, ever had the thought that it would even happen, that it would need to be necessary. And there's a very slow delay in our system reacting to what happened on January 6, 2021 and the events that led up to it. The meeting.
The system was built on good faith. It assumes that everybody will be acting as such.
Yeah, and social norms. And when those social norms are thrown out, we've seen it, you can lie about your entire resume, get elected to Congress. And then all of a sudden, all these rolling stories come out about how, well, you didn't actually go to school where you claim to go to school. You didn't work where you claim to work. Your name, maybe not even be the name that you go by on the ballot. The name that voters voted for. In New York, in the congressional district, that George Santos, if that is his real name, which I believe there's reports out there that it may not be, that he completely lied. He fabricated the persona that was elected to Congress.
And in the past, quite literally elected a fabricated persona.
A con man.
Kind of hilarious, but also incredibly, incredibly sad.
Yes. And it is a microcosm for where we are now as a nation, for if you remove shame, because it was, I truly believe George Santos is shameless. If you remove shame from the equation, there's little accountability.
That might be an interesting conversation for a future show, Luke, is like, you know, we have now seen what's essentially a fictitious persona get elected to Congress. That's kind of step one of, you know, I'll use the example of AI generated art right now that's become incredibly popular, right? What happens when we start having like AI generated personas that get elected to office? and where do we draw the line at that point? How quote unquote real do you have to be? Because like you just said, we don't know with Santos just how much of his story actually happened or if any of it actually happened. We know significant portions of what he said was completely fabricated. So what differentiates that from, you know, hypothetically just making up a completely fictitious individual and having them.
That seems to be the test example of what's happening right now with George Santos, because now he's
like
been
a shadow corporation makes a robot person, sticks a couple of, you know, social media accounts online to give them a backstory and they get elected. Like the companies.
Well, today, Congressman George Santos, I believe, gave himself up to authorities in New York, and unsealed were 13 criminal indictments against him. So it will be interesting to see how the system holds George Santos accountable. And yes, he may be a microcosm for the fact that we have lost shame in our politics in recent years, but it's a lot easier to hold one person accountable. It's a lot harder to, for the system at least, on display, we've seen, get accountability for an entire wide-ranging scheme across six or seven states to overturn and circumvent the 2020 election. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents, 844-967-2789. You can share a tangent with us on this Wednesday afternoon. I'm Luke Mathers. He's William Walter. And speaking of elections, well, a big thing about elections, Will, and we talk about them. We're in politics, news, current events. We're talking about all those things. Predicting what's going to come for which candidates are going to jump into the 2024 U.S. Senate race here in Wisconsin. We talk about all these different headlines. But looking at past trends helps us be able to look to see where things are going. And one of the stories that you found in preparation for today's show is a story over at the Journal Sentinel by Craig Gilbert talking about three decades worth of election trends in an area of society that you're familiar with, the suburbs. Suburbia. And so, Will, let's share it with the people, the story over at the Journal Sentinel.
Oh, reading from the beginning of the story, as the gap between urban and rural America widens, the most contested turf in swing state elections can be found in the suburbs. Consider Wisconsin, where the outcomes of next year's presidential race may hinge on whether Republicans can stem 8 years of suburban decline at the polls. The fight for Wisconsin suburbs is often told through the Republican-leaning WOW counties outside of Milwaukee, Waukesha, Ozaukee, Washington, but the story is much bigger than that. It proceeds to dive into some of the numbers behind some of these communities. Those who are familiar with the show are well aware that that is my neck of the woods, the WOW counties. I am in Washington County, one of the most conservative counties in the state, unfortunately. But progress is being made, and some of the data, Luke, that this article presents is astounding. Going back about 25-ish years, so starting in 2000. I'll use Washington as the example because it was the most conservative of all the listed counties, including Ozaukee and Waukesha, was about 37, 38 points conservative in 2000. this expanded exponentially in 2010, 12, and 14 down to about 52, 53 points. Well, in 2022, this most recent election, it was back to about 37. So where these shifts are occurring is not just in statistically safe conservative wild counties. Washington, Ozaukee, and Waukesha have all leaned more Democrat, but the Green Bay Appleton area has gone further Democrat. Milwaukee County, which generally leaned Democrat, but has now gone significantly Democrat. Dane County, obviously, and Milwaukee County's north side, which I think was a fantastic example of this suburban shift, went 3 points conservative in 2000, right? In 2022, 46 points Democrat. That's almost a 50-point swing. Mm-hmm. That is astounding, astounding numbers. Is there a reason for this besides the Republican Party's lurch to the right? I don't know. The article touches on a number of potential reasons, but I think, and you touched on this from the get-go, it's a lot easier to predict the future if you can recognize trends from the past, right?
Yep. Which is why you see political scientists, pollsters, everybody involved in looking to predict where we go next, looking at the past trends to be able to help build those models and build those predictions.
Mm-hmm.
And so it one of the interesting takeaways that I saw from the Gilbert article over at the Journal Sentinel, he lists several different takeaways, but despite their differences, most of the suburban areas have moved in the same direction since the 2014 election, away from the Republican Party. So that's mm-hmm. not just the conservative Washington County and the liberal Dane County. It is a trend across suburban areas moving away from the Republican Party when it comes to elections since 2014. The shift has been very small in some places and very big in others, Gilbert notes. Ozaukee gave Republicans a 41-point margin in the 2014 governor's race, then shrank to 11 points in 2022. The suburbs of northern Milwaukee County voted for Republican president, as you pointed out, 3 points, and that 50-point gap since then in the northern portion of Milwaukee County. So the trend's not just happening in Milwaukee with that 50-point trend. It's happening across even the conservative suburban, or historically conservative, suburban areas of the state.
And these areas of the state have been not only safe, and, you know, 11 points is still relatively safe, but you hear a lot that, particularly from Republican operatives, that if they want to be able to compete, they have to run up their numbers in these conservative rural and or suburban counties to kind of match the overpowering people power of large communities like Madison or Milwaukee. Well, when you're winning by 40 points in some of these, you know, Ozaukee type communities, that's a pretty major difference. If you're only winning by 11 points, that is minute. Right. And is it because, you know, young families are starting to move out here and younger people tend to lean more Democrat? Is it because the party itself, the Republican Party itself, has just gone off the rails and people are recognizing that? It's probably a combination, a little bit of all of the above. But at the same time, as we have now noted for the third time, these trends matter because they will dictate future races, future elections, and the political representatives that we have going forward. You would think that the powers that be would recognize these trends themselves and maybe self-reflect, take a look in the mirror and say, huh, why are we losing popularity in our former strongholds? Could it be anything that we're doing? But very much like the Principal Skinner meme from The Simpsons, they seem to be saying, no, it's the voters who are wrong.
Yes. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. If you want to share a tangent with Will and I on a Wednesday afternoon, 844-967-2789. And the other important takeaway is, yes, because these past trends help predict the future. But also, Will, we are a state that has had razor-thin margins. We are a purple state. Any little difference, like the past gubernatorial election in 2022, not the best example. About more than a 3-point win for incumbent Democratic Governor Tony Evers. But in 2018, when it was then Walker versus Evers, it was a razor-thin margin. In 2020, we saw a razor-thin margin between now President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump. It was a razor-thin margin in 2016 as well for Trump versus former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. And so it is an insane margin, and any little change on the perimeters of those margins can make the biggest difference. So when you're looking at these areas of impact in a swing state like Wisconsin, seeing these trends across the suburbs, that's got to be, they're important. So that's why we're talking about them.
Gilbert notes that too, Luke. Democratic Joe Biden's victory, there was nearly a 50,000 vote swing against Trump from 16 to 2020 in these eight areas. Trump lost statewide by about 20,000 votes. There was an 80,000 vote swing from Walker to Evers between 14 and 18 in these eight suburban areas. Walker lost statewide by less than 30,000 votes. That could have determined both the 2018 gubernatorial as well as the 2020 presidential election.
Yeah. Folks, share a tangent with us on this Wednesday afternoon. You're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. He's William Walter. 844-967-2789. We'll get to those phone calls and some more headlines when we get back.
Feeling good on a Wednesday, sparkling thoughts, give me the hope to go on.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on a Wednesday afternoon by William Walter. You can join us on the phone line in this final segment, 844-967-2789. Will, I almost forgot to mention, you know, as we kicked off the show, talking about, well, what do Republican lawmakers stand for? They claim to stand for election integrity. They want to restore faith in our electoral process. But we got
they individuals. They also claim to want to stand for small government, but then they want to cut revenue sharing amongst all of the communities in the state of Wisconsin. So.
Yeah, well, they're just offering a smaller proposal than Evers while similarly calling their proposal the largest ever investment in local municipal governments. So it's a weird mantra that they take when it comes to some of those approaches. But I almost forgot to mention another specific example that I saw break over the last 24 hours. But your neck of the woods, Dan Knodel. Now, don't know when the swearing-in process is. Is he officially a member of the state Senate?
He is. He is. As of a couple days ago, maybe four, might have been end of last week, would be my guess.
Okay.
I know it already happened. Let's
okay.
That way.
And now in those official capacities, Dan Knodel, a former member of the state assembly that is now a member of the state Senate after the results of the April 4th election. Well, Dan Knodel will now chair the Senate committee responsible for overseeing elections in Wisconsin, Will. But conveniently enough, he was one of those Republican lawmakers that signed a letter back in 2020 and 2021 encouraging then Vice President Mike Pence to, you know, just throw out those electoral votes for Wisconsin just to, you know, reelect Donald Trump through the process that was before Congress on January 6th. So the same
freakishly coincidental, Luke.
Yeah, it's a weird theme again that we're experiencing from our lawmakers here in Wisconsin and Republican lawmakers around the country. And so Dan Knodel, in that trend of individuals that will now be tasked with overseeing our elections in the state Senate, was a member of the Wisconsin legislature
that signed on. Despite having previously rejected our elections.
Yes. Yes. All for election integrity. Unless they don't like the outcome of that election, then they're going to do everything they possibly can, including commit crimes, to overturn the election results. Oh, my gosh. How did I almost forget that example? See, it would have been a terrible Wednesday. I wouldn't have brought your news from your neck of the woods here in Wisconsin about that one. Folks, you could share a tangent with us on this Wednesday still. You can be like our friend Joe here in Madison. Joe, what's on your mind this Wednesday afternoon?
A great show, you guys. Knodel sure sums up that Republican approach, isn't it? Integrity. What does the word mean? That is a question. Integrity means what I want it to mean. So, we're so far away from the truth. It's really a very interesting time when we watch our Republicans in action. You had used in the previous half hour the expression no shame, you know, that we are without shame anymore. I'd like to also bring up another phrase that I think really ties in these days, and that is the expression of pathological liars. And I think all of us have had the experience of having pathological liars in our life, whether it be that, I don't know, you know, the person that you work with, sadly, or a neighbor or somebody in the family who will just lie their pants off as they watch you, you know, as they talk to you. And I would offer as an example the all-time winner, which would be Trump. And they said the Washington Post, I think, lodged it was over 35,000 lies within office from our president. So perhaps it's not surprising that the Republicans that trail after him are of the same ilk. And I would offer as another approach to look at this, you referred to Tom Tiffany possibly sticking his toe in the water to run against Senator Baldwin for our state Senate, or excuse me, for U.S. Senate in the next upcoming election. Mm-hmm. And I would tell people that he was a guy that, again, voted to junk the election results in Arizona and Pennsylvania. Just turn them over.
Yeah, you know? And he was more than willing to, had they got to the Wisconsin part before the insurrection where Trump supporters attacked the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, I fully believe that Tom Tiffany would have objected to Wisconsin's electoral votes as well. And so, yeah, it's absolutely, again, just par for the course, and we really appreciate your phone call, Joe. But these trends, this is a major talking point for us here on Dueling Tangents. We have to be calling it out. You have to be having these discussions and say for individuals in your life when they're like, oh, well, yeah, it doesn't seem that bad. You have to be able to point out these circumstances and show them when they say, oh, well, I like to vote for Republicans because Republicans are for securing our elections. It is important to point out the examples that, well, when the rubber meets the road, they don't actually fund initiatives to secure our elections here in Wisconsin. When it comes to hiring staff around a congressional committee that they oversee as a member of Congress, they hire campaigners that work to overturn the election. When they now chair state Senate committees responsible for overseeing elections, they are the same individuals that signed on to a letter encouraging the vice president at the time to overturn and throw out the will of the people, overturn the election, and appoint President Trump to a second term. And it needs to
actions
be pointed
speak
out.
Speak louder than words, Luke.
Yes, it absolutely needs to be pointed out. We appreciate your phone call and your contribution today, Joe. Folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents. If you miss any portion of the show, you're going to want to check out the podcast. Again, where you can find those, wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher. You can also go to the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. We're going to have a big show tomorrow. We're going to be giving away 4 tickets to Friday night's Brewers game, which you can listen to across several different Civic Media radio stations. Our flagship station for the Milwaukee Brewers, WISS Oshkosh Air Support in Oshkosh in the Fox Valley, and our friends out in Richland Center, WRCE News from the center, are going to be giving away 4 tickets on tomorrow's show for Friday night's game against the Kansas City Royals. So the crew's going to have the day off. They unfortunately look like they fell to the LA Dodgers losing today, but going to have the day off tomorrow. But you can tune in tomorrow to win some tickets for Friday evening's game. It's going to be a 7:10 first pitch hosting the Kansas City Royals. And Will, it's just something. I have a feeling we're going to dive a little bit more into this Shameless thing, like you pointed out as well. Because,
but you know what I can't get off my mind, Luke, is the doublespeak of, I think this was the best example, alternative facts.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
That is something that I would have expected to see written word for word in some type of Orwellian fiction in the past, because it was such a perfect encapsulation of, we are lying to your face but refusing to admit it, so we're just going to instead say it's the alternative truth. Like, and people bought it.
Yeah.
It was brilliant marketing, but people bought it.
Kellyanne Conway sold that one to the press very well. And alternative facts are what a lot of folks use. But, you know, we've also got individuals that are just using this shameless approach, and I'm going to dive into, we got another saga of the Clarence Thomas, Harlan Crow, U.S. Judiciary Committee in the Senate. So we're going to dive into that tomorrow as well. I was giving away 4 tickets to Friday evening's Brewers game. You're going to want to stay tuned to Dueling Tangents. Tune back in 2:00 tomorrow across the Civic Media Network. Folks, it's been a terrific show. Really appreciate you joining me on this Wednesday, Will. We're going to be back tomorrow at 2, and we'll talk to y'all then.
Peace out, party people.